Hello and welcome to Criminal Justice Knowledge. My name is Natalie Miller and I'm pleased to welcome my guest today, Dr. Daniel Baer, one of the faculty members here at Humber in the Criminal Justice degree program. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me on.
So today we're going to be talking about drugs in the form of a crime issue. So why are drugs treated more as a crime issue rather than a health or medical issue in our society today?
I think this is a long-standing historical issue where drugs are seen as a way of, and were seen as a way of, controlling populations that were stigmatized or disempowered. Mm-hmm. And by targeting the modes of drug consumption that different groups that were seen as outsiders, if you targeted those, you could control them. So, for example, in Canada, many of the opium laws, if you look at their arguments of why we should have them, they're very much weighted in racist language against Chinese and East Asian immigrants.
Yep.
In the U.S., if you look at cannabis laws, often it's about depictions of lazy Mexicans. And
right.
you talk about, and especially again in the U.S., depictions of cocaine, why should it be legal? Well, it's those crazy black men who are out to rape white women.
Right.
And therefore, it's cocaine that's making them do this, and we need to control the population.
Mm-hmm.
So the history of drugs as a crime issue is very much weighted in issues of race and ethnicity.
And I think a lot of people have a misconception, possibly, that the act of doing the drug, and if a police officer comes to you after you've already shot up or smoked it, that they can still arrest you. Is that still a possibility, or is the crimes that are coming out of drugs different from the actual drug use itself?
There's been a few prosecutors in the U.S. who've tried to charge possession based on it being in your veins.
Right.
But in Canada, that's not a standard practice, no. Possession usually has to be on your person or in an area or place that you control access to. So an apartment, car, things like that.
Right. I suppose this is, we're talking about it being a health issue rather than a crime issue, but why would, of course there's many reasons, but what would be a main reason in terms of looking at it as a crime issue why someone would engage in drugs and therefore then engage in criminal activity?
Well, there's been a long-standing misconception, often tied to the concept of the junkie, which is a really stigmatized term, and other than in a context like this, I don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea of acquisitive crime where the person who is using drugs needs to fund that drug habit.
Right.
Goldstein called this the tripartite model of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in relation to the crack cocaine wars. But he said there's basically three types of drug-related crime.
Mm-hmm.
There is economic compulsive, where someone needs to get money for their drugs.
Right.
There is psychopharmacological, which is someone who is high on drugs does something because they're high on the drugs. So someone who's drunk using alcohol attacks someone else. Someone who is high on cocaine sort of goes a bit crazy and does something.
Right.
And then there's systemic, which is this idea that the black market means that individuals involved in drug trade and drug consumption can't rely on legal structures to protect them.
Right.
And so the violence that they perpetrate is because they can't go to court and say, this person defrauded me on a contract for the delivery of 64 kilos of cocaine.
Right.
What do they do? Well, they have to go kill someone.
Yep.
So Goldstein's tripartite model helps us understand some of the violence and criminal activity around drugs, albeit he discussed this in relation to the crack cocaine wars of the late 1980s.
Right, yeah. You already kind of touched on this a little bit. Is there a specific group that we see more engaged in, either certain types of drugs or drugs in general, and certain types of crimes that they're being involved in?
In terms of ethnicity, not really. Most every ethnic group uses drugs at fairly similar rates. We do tend to see drug use peak amongst young people. This was why, when it came to cannabis legalization, though many health authorities argued that the age of consumption should be 25, most drugs policy people argued that it should be 19, in line with most provinces' alcohol. Because if you legalize cannabis and don't make it accessible till age 25, mm-hmm. most young people will then still continue to use cannabis. They will do so through the black market.
Right. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So we're seeing the cannabis legalization coming supposedly in the summer, which is a way of the government trying to reduce criminal activity possibly or get revenue. What is a way that we as a society can reduce drug use in our country? What are certain avenues that seem the best approach?
Public education to young people that's honest.
Mm-hmm.
Scare tactics and things like the DARE program in the States and messages of total abstinence don't work.
Mm-hmm.
We know that abstinence-based education, it doesn't work for sex ed, it doesn't work for drug use.
Yep.
What works is saying, listen, here are these drugs. Mm-hmm. Cannabis is not harmless. Mm-hmm. It is minimally harmful.
Mm-hmm.
But as a young person, here's the things you need to understand about what might happen if you choose to use cannabis, especially if you want to heavily use cannabis.
Right.
In the same way that we should talk about it with alcohol, in the same way that we should talk about it with tobacco, the abstinence-based approach simply has not worked. There's been plenty of research that kids in the U.S. who are part of the DARE program, Drug Abuse Resistance Education, that they actually were more likely to engage in drug use later on in life after promising not to.
Right.
Because they hadn't been given good information about how to safely or minimally harmfully use drugs.
Yep.
We know young people are going to use drugs, and the way to protect them is to be honest with them and to say, if you're going to do this, these are the real risks you face, and we as a society don't want to see you harmed, so we would suggest maybe not doing that. And we do that with tobacco and alcohol fairly well at this point, but there's a reticence to do so with illegal drugs for fear of being seen to promote their use.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I think we've definitely seen that shift in our society. Hopefully we continue to see public awareness campaigns as you're speaking of. So thank you very much again, Daniel, for coming on our show. And until next time, I'm Natalie Miller, and this has been Criminal Justice Knowledge.